So last week we had done the introduction to this text. The ideas in this text are very compact and not very easy to understand and explain because the entire field of spiritual study and spiritual knowledge is compacted into these power-packed verses. And also the author, Raman Maharishi, his thinking was very abstract, was not very easy for you and me to understand. So I'll try my best to interpret these verses. And as we go along, you know, hopefully the ideas will become clear. Today's verse is a little bit difficult to understand. It gets easier as we go. So I'll try my best. So we'll do verse number one. This on page 2. Karturajnaya prapyate phalam. Karturajnaya prapyate phalam. Karma kim param karma tajjadam. So Kartu is the Lord, the Creator. Why does he put him first? Because when we start anything auspicious, anything, you always have to invoke the Lord's grace. Say you're building a new house, at least Hindus, we always do that. We do some kind of prayers and offer, light a fire, do a yajna and invoke the Lord's grace. If you're starting a new business, we will always take a Lord's picture or a statue there and offer some prayers. And every day in the morning, when you start the day, one should always invoke the Lord's grace. So anything that you start anywhere at any time, one should always remember the Lord. Never think that I am the doer, whether it's a new business, whether it's a new house, whether it's a new car. Even if you buy a new car, always take it to a spiritual place and have the car blessed. So that the idea is that anything new that you do, one should invoke the Lord's grace. Remember the Lord, because it is because of the Lord's grace that I have that car, the house, the business, anything that I have. It's not I who did it, but the Lord. So that's why the first word in this book is Kartu. Kartu means the Creator, the Lord. And Kartur Agnaya Prapyate Phalam. So Kartu Agnaya. Agnaya means it's the command of the Lord due to which Prapyate Phalam, due to which I get the result. So the result of every action is because of the Lord's grace. You say, what do you mean every action is the Lord's grace? Or the Lord's command? No, that's what. We'll try to cover that because each word is very important in this verse. So because of the Lord's grace, we get the results of all actions. And actions are not superior. Actions are not superior to the Lord. Karma kim param. Is action the most superior? Or is Lord God more superior? Why? Because karma, the actions are inert. Actions have no life of their own. Actions are inert. It is the doer of the action that is alive. So that is the verse. So first of all, let us see. We say every action happens because of the Lord's grace, because of the Lord's command. You say, come on, what are you saying? If I drop this from here and it falls to the ground, did the Lord have anything to do with it? No, I accidentally dropped it. It fell. Where does the Lord come in? Why do you say Lord comes in every action? Now think about it. I put it here and it fell to the ground. Now why did it fall to the ground?
Gravity.
The law of gravity. Now did I make the law of gravity?
No.
Who made the law of gravity? He did. In fact, it is the law of gravity that is keeping the whole cosmos in place. The planets are circulating around the sun because of the gravity. The seasons happen. The earth rotates because of the law of gravity. Not only that, if the law of gravity was not there, the earth is rotating so fast, we would be thrown off. You know, we wouldn't be able to stand on earth. We would be thrown off and we would be thrown off into space. The oceans would be thrown off, the nothing. So everything is maintained in place because of Newton just discovered the law of gravity. He didn't create it. So everything that is happening is because of his command, because of his order, because of his instruction. So whatever is happening because of the Lord's grace. Even a simple thing like dropping a thing on the ground. Then they say that for any action, which even is covered in the book, there are three factors required. There is a doer, the one who does. There is an instrument. There is the action. And there is the fruit. So who decides the result? Does the instrument decide the result? Like in the book, in the example is given that the farmer is plowing the land. Now the plow is the instrument, right? In the olden days, they used to use a plow with a bullock. We're not talking about the tractor, even the tractor, but the plow. Now there is a farmer who is walking and the bullocks are pulling. So the plow is plowing the land. So can the plow decide the result? No, the plow cannot decide. The action, can it decide? Like plowing, the action, can it decide the result? He plants the seed. No, the action does not decide. You say the farmer decided. He decided to plow the land and then he decided to plant the seeds. And then he planted wheat, so there came wheat. He planted rice, there came rice. He planted mangoes, there came mangoes. But the farmer also does not decide, because the farmer can only plant the seed, but can he determine how much rain will fall on that ground? Suppose there is drought and there is absolutely no rain, and the rivers are dried and there's no wells are dried. No matter how many seeds he plants, no matter what kind of fertilizer he puts, no matter how hard he works, he cannot decide the result. Then, you know, okay, the plants come out and then there is a hailstorm and all the fruits get destroyed and the flowers get all destroyed and they fall to the ground. No fruits come out. There is a big storm. There is an earthquake. So you and I have very limited effect on the result. We can do our action. We're not saying that you don't do the action. You have to do the action. If the farmer never even plowed the land, would he ever get anything? No, he would be poor. So the farmer does his duty and plants the land, but ultimately the result of that depends on a higher factor. So the activity, that's what in the Gita it says, karmanyavadika raste ma phaleshu kadachan. He says, your duty is only to do the action. You do not have control over the fruit, over the result. Why? Because there is a higher power which decides the result. Now, what is the fruit? Fruit is the result that comes after an action is committed. The fruit cannot come before the action, right? I cannot say I'm going to get the mango fruit before I get the mango tree. No, first I put the seed, then comes the tree, then comes the fruit. Now, when the fruit will come, again, is not in our hands. It is a higher power. Like tomatoes, you plant, and you plant it, and in the same season, within a month or two, a huge amount of tomato vines you get. Mango, you put a seed, you know, it comes after 10 years, after 12 years. And also in those 10 years, everything has to be well. The tree has to be nourished. We have to put fertilizer. Enough water has to fall. So the result of an action may come instantly. Like I put my hand in the fire. Now, does it take a time? Does it say, okay, I put my hand, now tomorrow I'll get the result? No, you'll get the result instantly. But on the other hand, you know, if I say something wrong to somebody or hurt somebody, either that person may slap me back, and then I got the result right away. But if the person is weak and is unable to slap me or hurt me, then he or she may keep resenting, and then an appropriate occasion comes where they will take revenge. Or the person may never be able to take revenge, but that karma, the negative karma of hurting somebody or cheating, will stay with me, and we say you get the result most of the time in this life. Sometimes it's possible even in the next life. That's what. Or in Christianity, they say you get it in heaven. You know, okay, so if you do good, if you don't get the results here, you will get it in heaven. If you have done bad, you don't get the results here, you will get it in hell. So either way, it is some of the results come after this life. Either you say in the next life or in heaven or hell. Talking about next life, the boss asks his employee, He says, do you believe in life after death? He says, yes, sir, I believe in life after death. He says, that's very good. Because, you know, remember you last week you went for your grandmother's funeral? He said, yeah. He said, yeah, your grandmother called today. So, life after death. We all believe in life after death. So, whether it's heaven or hell or whether it's a future birth, but the point is that the result of an action always comes after the action. And the result does not always depend on us. Because like, say 10 people are running in the Olympics, in the finals. Now, out of 10, all of them have prepared, all of them have competed, all of them were champions in their own country. All of them have, but in the final, only one person gets the gold medal. What happens to the other 9? It's not that they didn't prepare, but the one who maybe had prepared the best got the gold medal. But supposing the one who had prepared the best gets the flu on the morning of the test or the night of the race. Even though he has prepared the best, even though he had the best time in all previous races, but at the final, because he got the flu, he couldn't compete or he couldn't do his best. So the second person who had prepared second best. So again, action is up to us, but the result is not in our hands. The result is in some other factors. There are so many factors that come in, like 4 people, a family goes on vacation. They prepare and they spend all the money, they buy the airline tickets and they go to Hawaii. And what happens? The child gets sick. There's a fever of 103, he's vomiting, he's sick. So what do? They can't enjoy the vacation. They have to fly back or they have to take the child to the hospital. So the action can be decided by us, but the result is not always in our hand. So what they say that for any action, there has to be an individual, a body, a space where I work, and an object. Like now in this, suppose I'm in Bakersfield and I, as an individual, I use my body to build a house. So I, you know, put my, not only my effort, I get my friends and I get a contractor. So in Bakersfield, I build a house. So that is me, that is the space, and that is the object, the house that I built. Now, all of them are not in my hand. All of them, like you say, I have this body. Now I decide, no, but this body, did I create it? This body I got as a result of my past karmas. Because I had done good karmas, that's why I got a human body. If I had done bad karmas, I could have got the body of a cockroach, got the body of a mosquito, you know, a rat, a cat, a lion, a tiger. No, I must have done some good karma. So the body is a result of past karmas. It's even though you say, okay, the mother and father gave birth, but the individual, the soul, the BMI, where is that?
It's here.
Oh, they moved it. So it's supposed to be on the wall. It must have fallen. Or maybe somebody moved it. I think somebody is doing classes. Is Naina Patel doing classes?
But she's not using it.
She's not using it. Maybe it came off. Okay. Anyway, so the individual that occupies the body has done certain karmas, the mind and intellect, because of which she got a human body. And even the human body to get a healthy body is again a result of good karma. I could have been born with Down syndrome, born with some childhood paralysis or some AIDS or some. So to have a healthy body, to have a human body, so one should be grateful to the Lord that at least I'm thankful, oh Lord, that I have a healthy body, I have a human body. Then the space, okay, Bakersfield, I came in Bakersfield and built a house. Did I create the city of Bakersfield? No. The space was already there. The earth was created by the Lord, and then there was a Colonel Baker who built a farm, and that's how they called it Bakersfield. And then slowly it developed over the years, more and more people came. But the land that is Bakersfield, again, was created by the Lord. So the Lord has, so the body is given by him, the space. And then obviously the objects, like in building a house, I need bricks, I need stones. Everything is provided by the Lord. The steel, the cement, the wiring, everything I get from the earth. So what they are saying is that actions are limited. It is the Lord alone that is behind every action. Okay, then can an individual decide? Okay, they say an individual decides the result. God doesn't decide the result. I decide the result based on my action. But if an individual could truly decide the result, then we would never get an unwanted result, right? We put in action and sometimes we get the result we want, sometimes we don't. You start a business, sometimes it fails, sometimes it succeeds. You plant something, it may grow, it may not grow. You make a friendship and then sometimes the friendship succeeds, sometimes the friendship fails. Marriage, you know, two people get married, sometimes it succeeds, sometimes it fails. So the point is that the individual cannot decide the result. The individual can only put the action. Again, the result is dependent on many factors. Many factors. It depends on other, like two people getting married, it depends on both of them. Depends on the mother-in-law, depends on the job, depends on financial situations. So a lot of factors decide the success of a marriage. You know, financially, if one person is making more money, other one is not. So all those factors, the emotional relationship. So individual cannot decide the result. Result is again decided by multiple factors. So he says, karma kim param, is action the highest? Is action the one that gives us the ultimate happiness? Now, action cannot give ultimate happiness, because what is happiness? Happiness is when I have security, when I get what I want, then I'm happy. So what kind of security I want? Well, some people say I want physical security. I want to feel safe. I don't want somebody to break into my house, somebody to hurt me, to kill me. So I buy alarm systems and then I put all kind of security systems. Physical security. Some people say, I want emotional security. I want people to love me. I want my, you know, husband to love me, my child, my wife. So I want emotional security. If I don't have that, I may have money, I may have a nice house, but if my husband is not nice or my wife is not nice or my children, you know, some people are very rich, but the child is on drugs. So he has no emotional security. Child is all the time, you know, on drugs and stealing money and, you know, buying drugs from the dealer. So they have all the wealth, they have a beautiful house, they have a pool, they have a golf course in the back, but the son is on drugs. So what use is all that? The mother is miserable, the father is miserable, the child doesn't study, he's all the time stoned out. So some people say, I want emotional security. Other people say, I want financial security. You know, as long as I have money, that's good. If I have a 401k, if I have a retirement plan, if I have enough money in the bank. So we are looking for all different kinds of security. And that's what we think, that the security will give us happiness. So some people physical, some emotional, some financial. Some people say spiritual. If I have God with me on my side, then nothing matters. And that is the only security that is really important, is if you are spiritually secure, if you are connected with the truth. So in life, they say there are four kinds of goals that we all seek. In our spirituality, they say dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, which I have translated. Dharma means right action, righteousness. So everybody wants to do the right thing or should do the right thing. Then the second is wealth. Wealth means not only wealth, but all material things, a house, a car, a 401k, a nice job. So anything that produces wealth is the second. So one is I must have the right action, I must have wealth, and then I must have joy, I must have enjoyment. So that can be physical joy, can be sensual joy, can be food, can be travel, can be, you know, friendship, companionship. So three things I want. I want wealth and I want to be happy. But they say the two of them should have dharma associated, should have righteousness. So when you earn money, it should be earned in the right way. And when you enjoy in life, when you have fun, it should also be done in the right way. That means doing illegal activities to get joy, like say buying drugs or using drugs or doing things that are immoral or illegal. So joy is good. Wealth is good, but it should be accompanied by dharma, which means right action. So these three things I can do with my own effort, right? I can have fun, I can have wealth, I can have right action. But the fourth and the most important goal of life is liberation or freedom or what we call as self-realization or God-realization. So that I cannot create. I cannot liberate myself from this life of birth and death. I cannot realize the truth. I can meditate, I can pray, I can do service. And all those things will help to quieten the mind. But the final step of becoming one with God, he has to do or she has to do. The Lord has to reach down and pick us up. That's what he says in the 12th chapter of the Gita, that when a person is ready and has totally become one with me, has given up all ego, given up all selfishness, then I reach out down and pick them up. And all saints have said that, that the human effort can only take you up to this, the first three. But the fourth one, where you become one with God or you become one with, merge with him, is the depend on his grace. So I put my effort and then I surrender, say, God, this is all I can do. Now I have given up my ego. I have become, you know, one with you. Now it is your job. So even in this, as we know, even these things I cannot create. We have already talked about it. But definitely the fourth one is dependent upon God. So who is this God and what does he do? They say he is the one that gives all the results. How does God give all the results? How does he know? Like I say, I sit and meditate. Or I do some action which is a charitable action which nobody knows about. I anonymously give $10,000 to donate to some cause. Nobody knows, you know, anonymously have donated, but he knows. And that's why he gives us the result, right? Whether you do action openly or you do it anonymously, whether you sit in your room and think good about somebody or you sit in your room and think evil about somebody. Now, thinking good is a good action, will give you good result. But if you think in your room, sit in your room and think evil and make plans, how can I hurt this person? Who knows? Nobody else knows, but God knows. So the first thing about God is he's all pervading. He has to be there in me, right? When I'm thinking, when I'm planning, when I'm doing the action, when I'm doing anonymous action. So not only he is all pervading, but he's all knowing. So God knows everything that we do and he decides the result based on our motives. The action may be the same, but it is the motive that decides the result. I've given this example many times, like you cut somebody's stomach and he bleeds to death. Now that can be a good or bad action depending on the motive. Like if somebody cuts a person's stomach to steal money from him and he bleeds to death, that is a sinful act. But a surgeon cutting a person's stomach to save him because he is bleeding in an auto accident and he could not save him and he bled to death, that action becomes meritorious because the surgeon's goal of cutting the stomach was not to steal his wallet, it was to save his life. So who knows the motive? Motive again is known by God. So he not only knows your actions, but he knows your motives. With what motive you're doing, like we said last week, charity can be done, you know, either to make myself famous or charity can be done to help somebody. So the motive decides the result. So that's why they say God is all pervading and he's all knowing. He's also all-powerful and he's all-just because, as we said, the result comes to me and I do not decide the result. Like there are some evil people, you know, like the evil, you know, people like, say, Hitler and so on. They were all-powerful. But ultimately, there was a higher power which destroyed them. So God is all-powerful and ultimately, none of us can stand up to that power. All we can do is surrender to him and say, Lord, it is because of you that everything is happening. So you are all powerful and he's also just. He does not play favorites. It's not that God favors somebody or dislikes somebody or hates somebody. He says that he's all loving and he's all compassionate. He's all kind and compassionate. Even if we have done evil things, even if you have done something wrong, but if you, as like in, you know, in Christianity, they have this, confession, where you go and confess It does not mean that you keep repeating the sin every week and then you go confess every week, then it's not going to serve the purpose. The idea is that once I go, I confess and say, Lord, I'm sorry for having done it. I do not plan to repeat. Then they say you are forgiven. So the Lord is just and he's compassionate. So the results that I am getting are based on justice, not based on some whimsical that he does not favor somebody and puts them in Rockefeller's house or in, you know, Kennedy's house, and then another one he punishes him and puts him in a hut in Africa where he has to suffer from AIDS. No, it is all a result of my past karmas that decide what kind of house I am born in, what kind of body I get, what kind of space, what kind of country I am born in, what kind of objects I have, whether I am born in a rich house, whether I am born in a poor house. So the Lord is all pervading, he's all knowing, he's all powerful, he's just, and he is compassionate. It's like a judge. You know, a judge gets to decide, okay, this person, you know, is punished, this person. But say there are two people who have committed the same kind of crime. Now, one person is a habitual criminal. He commits the crimes every year, every 6 months. He has already been to jail 4 or 5 times. And now he commits that same crime, his punishment will be worse. Why? Because he's a habitual criminal, he has been warned. But another person happens to have a good life, and by mistake, you know, in a fit of anger, you know, he committed a crime, you know, he did something wrong. Then the judge has the compassion and the justice to decide, okay, this person is a habitual criminal, he deserves 10 years in jail. But this person, in a fit of anger and mistake, he committed the crime. He's basically a good person. So he may give him a less punishment. You know, he may give him a, you know, probation, or may give him a shorter sentence. So similarly, the Lord is very just. He's very compassionate. And he looks at our motive, looks at our record. So that is what this verse says, that actions are limited. Actions can only do so much. But ultimately, it is God's will, it is God's wish. So one has to always invoke the Lord's grace while doing everything, because my own abilities are limited. Karma kim param, karma ta jadam. My activities are not highest. I cannot get the ultimate happiness. I can only try my best, but ultimately depend on that. So that is what this verse says, that actions we should do. It does not mean that you say, oh, God is everything. He's all-powerful, all-pervading. Let him do everything. He's not going to come to your house and cook your food. You have to cook. You have to go to work. You have to. But ultimately, the result depends on a higher power. So always invoke his grace. Always remember him. And start every activity remembering the God. That's why this book starts with remembering the God. Kartur Agneya. So do that every day. Make a habit before you leave your house. If you have a picture of God or a statue, bow down before it. Ask the Lord to be with you. When you get out of bed, first thing you do as soon as you wake up is chant his name before you go to bed at night. And anything that happens, we have an attitude of gratitude. Even bad things are happening. God, thank you so much. Don't say, God, why are you punishing me? No. Whatever is happening for my good. Even bad things are happening, there is a lesson in it. There is something I have to learn from it, something I have to grow. So with that attitude, one should work. I hope I have been able to cover this subject. There are more points in this, but I think this much is good for now. I thought this would do. And then this action will be explained more in the next few verses. What are action? And then what is difference between karma and karma yoga? So what is action and what is higher action dedicated to the Lord? One is action, that is called karma. And then what is karma yoga? Action dedicated to the Lord. We'll be talking about that in the next few weeks. Any comments, any questions? Yeah, sure. No, please.
Well, it's what did I do in a former life to lose my crop?
Right.
That can be explained in another chapter or whatever.
Well, we can explain it today also in another chapter. But yeah, every action has a reason behind it. If the crops did not do well, there could be many factors. Maybe the ground was not nourished enough. Maybe there's not enough fertilizer. He had overused the ground. Or he had done bad actions elsewhere. Maybe you know, cheating the customers, or maybe he was mean to his wife and his family, and maybe he was a very hateful creature, very, you know, prejudiced. And so there could be many reasons why he is suffering, or it could be from previous life, but most of the time it is actions that we do in this life, we get the results in this life. So one has to see, it's the farming is only one aspect, but how does he live the rest of his life? Good. And the result may not come, because say if he has been habitually beating his wife, for example, every week or every day, and that, you know, she cannot fight back, she cannot resist. So maybe that is manifesting in his failure of the crop. We don't know. So the result, so one has to see the action, one has to see the motive, and one has to see the total picture. And only he knows the total picture. Farming is only one aspect of his life. You know what I'm saying?
And that's, I guess that's why this hearing, I'm thinking it's been my ego that's probably been in the way of
right.
not letting all these lessons speak to me.
Right, or the arrogance. You know, I'm so rich, I'm so successful. Sometimes pride comes in there, and so maybe that is his way of reducing our pride, humbling us. So there are many factors in any action. That's what I was trying to say. And one has to look at the whole picture, which maybe you and I cannot, but he does. He does looks at all the totality. Maybe that whole community is very evil. You know, it could happen that this particular town is very hateful. You know, they are hateful to one section of the community. They're very mean. So what happens is sometimes the entire town gets punished. You know, that's why when there is drought, or when there is something that that town or that state or that community is doing which is not right. Rainfall only happens for good people. So if like, and sometimes we find there are some states in India, especially where water is, where the whole state gets destroyed by drought, all the crops get destroyed, the farmers all become poor. Now individually they may not have done it, but when the whole community is wrong, then the whole community gets punished. And in that process, some other people may also get caught in that. So the karma is not only of an individual, it is of a family, it is of a community, it is of a nation, it is of a state. That's why, you know, certain states, we find certain countries, there is so much tragedy. You know, there is so much killing and murder. And why? Because they, you know, their whole thinking of that community was bad or so wrong. So sometimes, and that individual may get himself maybe good, but because he belongs to that state or he belongs to, so just as an individual has a karma, a community has its karma, a state has its karma, a nation has its karma, and the whole earth has its own karma. Like we are with a global warming, you know, people say there's no such thing. Well, if you believe it or not, but we are polluting the earth. You know, we are polluting the atmosphere. We are polluting our rivers. We are polluting our oceans. We are collecting nuclear waste, you know, and also global warming. Eventually the earth will, you know, will pay the consequences, which is already doing in the form of tornadoes, in the form of, so the karma belongs to many at many levels. It's not only the individual level.
Well, that's helpful, I think, to realize just your ego's in the way. You're thinking that, you know, you're controlling this, or
right, these lessons, right. Humility is the number one. The more you evolve spiritually, the more humble you should become. If spirituality gives you arrogance that I know more, like I might start thinking, you know, I know more than all these people, they're all ignorant and I'm here to teach them and I'm somebody great. The moment that comes, instantly fall will arise. But if I feel that teacher has given me this knowledge, I'm so grateful to all these people that I'm able to share, then that same action, the action is the same. I'm teaching, but with what attitude I'm teaching determines whether the action is pure or not, whether it's, you know. So the ego is a very important thing. One has to get the ego out of the way. Always be grateful to the Lord for whatever we have. And then even if sorrows come, accept it. Okay, there is some learning. There is some teaching. There is something I have done wrong because of which it has happened. And so even when sorrows come, take it as a learning experience, as a way to grow out of it. Yes.
You've also mentioned that there's been saints that have prayed for sorrows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was one saint, she used to pray for sorrow. She said, because when things are going well, God, I don't never remember you. But when I have sorrow, then I remember God. So the idea is I should never forget you. That's why she says, God, always give me sorrows. But at least in sorrow, I remember you. But if when things are going well, then I say, I'm so great, I did so good, then I don't remember. So it's sorrow may be a way of God reminding me that to turn towards Him.
Your greatest lesson is usually in sorrow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah. Eckhart Tolle calls them alarm clocks. When you get a sorrow in life, it's an alarm clock to wake you up. Mm-hmm. So realize that and grow from it. Yes.
I've always said that what I have is not mine. It's His.
Right.
Because He could take it away in time. I've always said that.
Right. That's true.
It's not mine, it's His.
If mine, not mine, it's His, and what I, and if I can, I should use it in His service as much as possible. In fact, we have a prayer, you know, in Hinduism. It says, "Tan mana dhana sab tera." My body, my mind, and my wealth is all yours. Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera. I offer everything to you. My body, my mind, my wealth is all yours. I offer it to you because nothing belongs to me. Of course, we say that, but we don't offer it. Then we go and the moment we leave, we forget. It's just mechanically. Tan mana dhana sab. The prayers are done very mechanically. Oh God, and then we get out. You know, even when we chant His name, when you chant the Lord's name, it should be done with feeling, with emotion, with gratitude, with love. Remember His form. When you say the, you know, when you think of Jesus, remember Him. Don't just say, oh Jesus, and get out. No, think of His form. So the idea is that one should invoke the Lord, but do it with, but yeah, and saying that it belongs to Him, but then one should genuinely feel that. Not just mechanically say it, but feel it and be grateful for what I have and then share with others as much as I can. Right.
Whatever I have is His.
Good.
And I thank Him for it.
That's very good.
I think it's important.
Uh-huh.
I think it's important.
Yeah, constantly remembering it. That's true. Every morning I get up and thank the Lord that I have this opportunity to teach. I'm so grateful. I teach on Thursday and Sunday. How many people would get this chance? And I'm so grateful to Him that because to teach, I have to prepare. I have to read it two or three times. For Sunday, I start preparing Friday. So 3 days before Sunday, 3 days before Thursday, I'm thinking about these ideas and, you know, preparing. So it's such a blessing for me. And otherwise, if there had been a monk or a teacher here, then he would be teaching, you know, Swamiji or somebody. Now there is nobody here, so I'm forced to do it. And in the process, I'm benefiting. Of course, you know, all of you must be benefiting, but I benefit the most. And every morning, I'm grateful whenever I have chance to read, because it's such a blessing to share His book and His knowledge with all of the devotees. It's so nice. In fact, I thank all of you, because if all of you didn't come, whom would I be talking to? I would be not have no one to, you know, I would prepare and there would be no one. So if you all didn't come, I wouldn't get the opportunity to share. So, you know, you are as important as I am, actually more.
You know, all that story about the farming and the community, I have seen it gratitude day and night. All yours.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other comments, questions? I know it's a difficult subject, but, you know, just think about and read the commentary, because Swamiji has given the same thing in the commentary. And then if you want to listen to this talk again, you can go to firstpower.info. Tony will be putting it online. So, and then next week we'll continue to talk more about action, about how actions can bind us.
I have a cool question. So people, are they then rewarded somehow? Or they're in that community because of...
Yeah, they are in that community. Like, in a, you know, they are in that... They may be innocent, but they may have done some actions either in this life or previous life, which they are now paying. Or as a member of the community, if they get involved, but somehow, yeah, it will be made up to them. Like she said, the next year, the harvest was so plentiful because of the flood. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, you know, it's very complex. It's very complex. It's very hard to figure out what is happening to me. So message I get from this is, do your best at every given moment. Have your motives pure. As much as possible, try to help the world. Do the best. And even if sorrow comes, accept it cheerfully. And then just keep on doing it. Just do your best. Be honest. See, the past, whatever I have done, I cannot change. And so because of my past actions, even if I'm suffering in this present life, but my future is in my hands. If I do good deeds in this life, if I do good, then my future will be good. So instead of worrying about what is happening, I do my best and dedicate to the Lord and reduce my ego. And that's very important.
Right, and I would say the harvest so the last thing is just out of the way, that's just a little organic happiness and joy.
Right. True. When you remove the ego, then the Lord that is within shines. See, he's obstructed by the ego. But the moment you remove the ego, the perceiver, feeler, and thinker, the Lord that is within us shines and functions through us. That's what the saints had. Saints had no ego. That's why Jesus could say, the Father in heaven and I are one. Why? Because I wasn't there. Father alone functioned through him. So all the saints have absolutely zero ego. They're very humble, they're very modest, very kind, very compassionate. So when you are in the presence of a saint, you are in the presence of God himself, because the individual is no longer there. There is no perceiver, feeler, and thinker. There is only the Lord functioning. So the more you can reduce your ego and more you become his instrument, the purer your actions become. If you say, I am the doer, or whether he is working through me, there is a difference between the action being the same, whether I am doing it or he is doing it through me. Never lose faith in him. That's one thing. Never stop loving God, no matter what happens, no matter how much your sorrows you are going through. Yeah.